Your sermon title today is the Genesis Attack. And I'd like for you, if you have your Bible, if you'd turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. And Jonathan will put it up on the overhead for you today. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" In the NIV and the New King James Version, that's how it says it. It says, "Has God indeed said." Now, in the New Living Translation, it brings it out this way. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? This attack has been going on ever since the beginning of time. So for the last 6,000 years, this battle has been raging, and it has never been more evident than it is today. The truth and authority of God's Word. Did God really say that? Is that truly what God meant when He said it? Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to come back to Genesis. But that's an easy book to find. But in 2 Corinthians, we go to chapter 11. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here we're going to read verses 3 and 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And verse 3 says, "But I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Verse 3 again. "But I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds would be corrupted or may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I can tell you the scriptures say that the scripture is without error, that the scripture is pure, that the scripture says the world will not pass away, but my words, or the world will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But do you believe it? And if you believe it, are you going to stand on it? And if you believe it, and are you going to act upon it? You are going to get tired of me saying it, but at Crossroads Gospel Church, we believe the Word, we stand on the Word, and by believing, we also act on the Word. But I'm going to keep saying it until it is running out of your ears, because listen to me, if you do not believe all of it, you do not believe any of it. Think about that. If you're going to take this portion of the Word of God and say, "Well, I don't know if I believe in creation or not. I'm going to believe in evolution. If I don't believe that He created a man and female, that there's a never variation that might be in there," and all of a sudden you stop believing the Word of God in this place and this place and this place, then you believe none of it. That we believe all of the Word of God, that it was inspired, authorized by God. There is no such thing as a partial Bible-believing church. But that is exactly what the churches in America have been trying to pull off. That they are just Bible, partial Bible-believing churches. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed for by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So in review, faith is what? Acting on what you believe to be true. And if you believe the word of God is true, then you need to be acting upon it. That is faith. Are you acting on the Word of God because you believe it to be true? Now, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." But let's read it this way. But without faith in God's word, it is impossible to believe him. Without faith in God's word, it is impossible to please him. So just look at the first few pages of the book of Genesis and look at the attack on God's word. Now remember that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read, did God really say that? Did he really mean that? In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Did God really do that? Did he create everything? Or maybe just part of it and the rest evolved? Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Are you sure that there are only two genders? Or did God mean we would start out with two, but there would be more that would come after that? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. There's never been a stronger attack on anything than the institution of the marriage relationship. Marriage was instituted and ordained by God. There is no other marriage relationship recognized by God other than the marriage of a man and a woman. Because that's what the scripture says. Everything is based on that relationship. When we talk about the word fornication means you're going to have a sexual relationship before you become husband and wife, based on the marriage relationship. If we say that somebody has committed adultery, what has taken place? That within the marriage relationship, somebody has stepped out and had a relationship with somebody else. That is what adultery is. It's based on the marriage relationship. The greatest relationship that we can, if we so choose, is to be husband and wife. It not only feeds the nation, it is the nation. This country that we live in today, our government should be doing everything that it possibly can to support the structure of the family. And it is not, and it has not. And look what has taken place to the structure of the family and the family unit that we have in society today. Let me tell you, Russia is not going to defeat America. China is not going to defeat America. We're going to destroy ourselves by what we have done, what we have orchestrated, and what we are aligning our life to. This church and we as Christians today, we need to have a biblical worldview and not a secular worldview in which we live today. Marriage was instituted and ordained by God. There is no other relationship recognized by him. Our nation and even the church continues to pervert the gospel, the truth of God's word, to something that it is not. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, Romans 1 and verse 25, Romans 1 and verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The world would believe a lie before they would ever believe the truth. In verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. At Crossroads Gospel Church, we celebrate life because you're created in God's image and he has a plan and he has a purpose for everyone that is born. We celebrate marriage because it was instituted and it was ordained by God. We celebrate death because a life well lived for the gospel of Jesus Christ is a life that is forevermore with the Lord. No, we don't typically have a 50th wedding anniversary celebrated on a Sunday morning service. But as a church, we wanted to celebrate with Harley and Carla, and I wanted to take time to celebrate the institution and the ordination of marriage because we've done everything in our nation to destroy it. If we don't teach our kids, the world will. 50 years ago, this couple came together in a marriage. And they recommit their vows with each other today. Today, Carla is going to carry a Bible down that she carried with her when she was married. She carried it with her on her 25th recommitment of their anniversary of marriage together. And today she's going to carry it 50 years later by a little lady that gave it to her and said, if you all honor this, he will honor you. And most certainly he has. They met with the minister, and the minister told them, if you will put God first in your marriage, then God will indeed bless your marriage. Harley and Carla said that day they made a commitment that from this day forward, we were going to put God first. One of the reasons that they would like to have it on a Sunday morning is because maybe you haven't been in church for a while, family member. And they thought this was a way they could get you in church. Now, I won't say that Carl and Harley are devious. But they love you, and they care about you. And they want you to have that same relationship that they have. The Scripture tells us not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I can tell you, in a marriage relationship, Carol has blessed Carol and I, and we were very lucky that we've been together 50 years. And I love her more today than I did when I first met her. He wants that all for all of us. But so many times we, as young people, we get ahead of God because we're attracted to somebody or we're drawn to somebody. I want God to bless you. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago, waiting on God? When you wait on God, you don't take it back into your control and authority and do what you think. But you wait on the Lord. The Lord has the right person for you. The Lord has that one out there that you can spend 50 years with as well. Let's close this portion in prayer. Father, we just start rejoicing this time that we could gather together today. And Father, this is a special time, not only with Harley and Carla, but this is also a special time with our church family and with our young people. We pray that, Father, we would be blessed by your word, that we would always want to honor it, and we desire to walk in it, that we believe it, that we trust it, we stand on it, we act upon it, and that, Father, we will always be a church that will do just exactly that. Because I believe totally and completely, wholeheartedly, Father, if we do those things, that this church will position itself to be blessed. And I praise you forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.